welcome to the broadcast. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11, where we read this simple little phrase, "These things happened." We're going to look at what happened and why. Stay tuned. The apostle was writing to the Corinthians, and they were a very carnal group of people, the worst living Christians you'll find in the Word of God. And he's talking to them about things that happened back in the wilderness when Israel was wandering around in their tents. And he said here in verse number 11 of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, he said, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." These things happen. Now that's a given. The Bible says they happen. They happen. But they happen for an example, which the word here means a pattern or a model or a design used as a guide. And it goes on to say, "And they are written for our admonition." And that word admonition means a warning of something to avoid. Someone has said the only thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history. Well, we should, and that's why this portion of Scripture is written here. And so we're going to look in a series of messages entitled, "Let's Face the Facts and Face the Future." Before we do, though, listen to this message in song. And I've said that so many times before, listen to this message in song. It would be a good idea to do that right now. Just stop everything you're doing and listen very careful to the words of this song. It will be a blessing.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full, he has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them. But now he is pleading our pardon on high, that we may be his when he comes by and by. An outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and crown, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, all glory to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
I'm reading again 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. It says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now, this is talking about the consummation of the age, and it's talking about the fact that these things are written for a warning of something to avoid from the mistakes that they made while they were living there in the wilderness. It's interesting that the word tent or tents occurs in the Old Testament 160 times. You don't find any tents in the New Testament, but you find a lot of them in the Old Testament. The word tribe or tribes occurs in the Bible over 350 times, most of which are in the Old Testament, and if they are in the New Testament, they are referring to what went on back there in the wilderness and during the Old Testament period, usually under the direction of Moses and Abraham, and what was happening under the law. Now, the tents and the tribes, they were in the wilderness, and they were all around the tabernacle as they set up their tents. You have Judah and Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali and Reuben and Simeon and Asher, Dan, Gad, Ephraim, Manasseh, and the tribe of Benjamin. And all of these tribes were set up around the tabernacle that was set up in the wilderness, and then, of course, their respective tents behind them. Now, there's a verse in the Bible in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 21 that says that God changes the times and the seasons. And so we come to Luke chapter 21 and verse 24, and it's talking about the times of the Gentiles, which is where we're living now. And in this period of time that we're looking at the local church age in which we are living, and God's purpose is for pastors to teach the whole counsel of God, and for the parents to go home and make sure that the children in their homes understood what they were supposed to do according to the Word of God. The word church or churches occurs in the New Testament over 100 times. If I remember correctly, I think it's 117 times. And once again, the Bible says all these things happen unto them in the Old Testament for examples to us, and they're written for our admonition or for our warning. Now, Moses spake, it says, unto the heads of the tribes in Numbers 30 and verse number 1, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded." This is how God commands you to do it. Well, the tribes did not like God's plan, and they refused to stay with it. And as a result, they paid a terrible price. And 32 times in the scriptures, we read the anger of the Lord. 11 times, we read the anger of the Lord was kindled. Well, when we come to the age of the churches where we're living now, as we said, the word occurs over 100 times in the New Testament. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul said to Timothy, "These things write I unto thee, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Well, like Israel, we have refused to stay with God's plan, and as a result, we are paying a terrible price today. And so we're coming through this series on facing the facts and facing the future. The fact is, apostasy has flooded into what we have called fundamental churches. Let me say that again. Apostasy, at the end of the age, has flooded into our churches, and the bigger problem of that is that most people who call themselves fundamentalists have their head buried in the sand and say, "I don't see anything wrong." Well, something is very wrong if we get our head out of the sand and look at the Bible and see that these things happen unto them. And so let's not make the same mistakes that they made. What were their mistakes? Well, for Israel, God's plan was plain and it was simple. As we said, Israel was divided into 12 tribes. God had ordained that the priests were to teach, and in turn, the fathers were to lead their families in the way of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 8 says, "And these things which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." So that's pretty simple. The priests were to do the teaching, and the fathers were to go home and lead their families in the way of the Lord and teach these things diligently unto the children. Now, you can call yourself a fundamental independent Baptist or a fundamental independent something else. If you're not doing this, you're not fundamental at all. What the Bible says is the pastor is to do his job, teach the whole counsel of God, and the fathers are to teach the children as they're supposed to be taught. Well, back in Israel, Numbers chapter 24, we read, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are spread forth, as the gardens by the riverside, as the trees by lin alloys which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters." God's plan for Israel was to live in their tents and to be controlled by their tribes. "How goodly are thy tents, O Israel." Well, no, they didn't like this. They wanted to change that, and they did, and we'll see that as we go on in this series. God's plan for today, as we said, is the pastor preaching the whole counsel of God and the fathers bringing the children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And God's plan for today is also very plain, and it's very simple. But it requires pastors doing their God-given responsibility and fathers taking their God-given responsibility seriously. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "The pastor's God-given responsibility is the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Those faithful men, that's the fathers in the congregation, and they are to teach their children what the Bible says. But Paul went on to say in 2 Corinthians 1:24, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." All Paul could do was say, "Look, the things you heard of me, commit thou to faithful men, and they will go home and teach their children." But, he says, "We have no dominion over your faith, what you believe. We are simply helpers to your joy. You're either going to do what the Bible says, or you're not." Paul's responsibility ended with giving them the whole counsel of God. And so in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, we read, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Not much of that going on today. Before Israel entered the promised land, they followed God's plan. In the wilderness, it was God's plan for the priests to teach the parents, and the parents to teach their family, especially the fathers. And that is exactly what was going on when they first entered into the land. When Joshua led Israel into the promised land, we read in Psalm 78:55 that God cast out the heathen also before them and divided them an inheritance by line and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. And it's in that context we read in Numbers 24, verse 5, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel." Well, things were going great until a problem came along, and that problem was that the Philistines were a threat to Israel, and the elders of Israel regarded God's plan as insufficient to handle the problem. Well, Samuel gave them a simple solution in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 3. He said, prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Now that's pretty simple. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Well, God's leader decided they'd rather trust their own plan, and so we read in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and said unto him, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We don't sit around here in our tents and we expect God to do it. No, we want you to make us a king like all the nations. Well, it was God's purpose to show himself powerful through his tribes. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God said, I want to do it through the simple things. Live in your tents, stay in your tribes, keep me first in your life, serve the Lord, and the Lord will take care of the Philistines. Well, God's people took things in their own hands to fight their battles like all the nations. When God's people trust God, he takes care of his people. Israel should have trusted God in Samuel's day and claimed the promise. Samuel pleaded with the people to continue doing things God's way, but in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19, we read, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king. Samuel continued to warn them, but they refused to listen. In 1 Samuel 10:19, we read, and ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversaries and your tribulations, and ye have said unto him, nay, but we will have a king over us. Well, God's response, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 19, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. Well, God's plan for today is very plain and it's very simple. That's simply having pastors preaching the whole counsel of God, which unfortunately is not heard of much anymore. But if pastors would preach the whole counsel of God and the fathers would go home and teach it to their families and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, God would take care of our enemies. Well, we decided back around the turn of the 1900s, we can't do that with our little local churches. We got to organize our ism. We'll call it fundamentalism. Besides, the world has communism and socialism and all the other isms. We need an ism to fight our giant Philistines. So we bypassed the local church and we started putting our trust in our ism, our organizations, our colleges, and all kinds of things outside of the local church. And like Israel, we're paying a tremendous price for that today. We decided we had to organize outside the local church, and we had the big organizations like the Billy Graham Foundation, and we had the big things like the Jack Van Impe Crusades, and we're going to do it. We got to get all together, and we're going to do it this way because God doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, that's what they thought back there in Israel, too. Well, you can see the mess that we are in if you open your eyes, and the reason we're in it is because we have simply said no to God's simple program for us today. Well, as we continue in this series, we're going to continue on facing the facts and facing the future. Not as all lost. There's some great things ahead for us. If we will listen, the Bible always has a remnant that listens, and it's to that remnant that we hope these programs will be an encouragement. Well, the Bible is very plain. It says in the Word of God that when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide us into all truth. All truth is all truth. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong on these issues. If we will make this message in song sincerely our prayer, stop everything we're doing and concentrate on the words of this song, teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King, my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to